come this year to camp with a real spirit of expectation, as we've missed a year, which really threw off a lot of our rhythms and our scheduling. I didn't realize how much I felt it until I got back up here and was looking forward and anticipating our first time meeting together once again. And then I thought about a little bit after I had dinner with this fine couple over here who have been waiting 40 years to come see Pilgrim Camp. They've heard the tales, they've heard the stories, and they're finally here. And just to think about that expectation of what is it going to look like when we finally get there. I've been thinking a lot about that over the last 2 years. What is that first meeting going to look like when we come back together? And I had a lot of pictures in my head of what it might be, just this loud eruption of praise. There's this magnificent joy that we have as we can finally once again gather together. I had the picture of us just on our faces praying before God, just being met by the Spirit of God, just fire falling on us. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, maybe that wasn't our experience last night, and that's okay. I'm fine with that. That could be our experience still. But there's just a real sense of expectation, and Pastor John shared that a little bit. Dad shared that. I'll call him Dad from now on. He shared that a little bit last night about this expectation that we have for victory that we're longing to see in our hearts and in our lives. We took time to pray for that during our staff prayer this afternoon as well. And part of that expectation is that we're going to be filled with this faith and begin to see breakthrough and miracles. Does anyone long for that, to see that over these next days that we're together? That is possible. That is possible as we come into the presence of God. And that really, miracles and breakthrough, is just the fruit of being in the room with Jesus. That's just what happens when we encounter him. It's not what we're after. We're not just looking for a miracle. We're not just looking for a healing. We're looking for Jesus. And that's why we're here. That's why you're here. And if not, well, that's why you're here, is to see Jesus. I was reading through some of the camp devotional, and I just pray that this testimony will just stir your heart for expectation tonight and as we continue throughout the rest of this week here. But at the beginning of our camp devotionals, staff, you have these. I think they're available in the office if anyone else would like them. But Brother Phil wrote a little message just to kind of introduce the theme of this season for the 75th anniversary. And in it, he just recounts this prophetic word that's given by Brother Hans Waldfogel. And he says, in the early days of camp, a word of prophecy was given by our founder, Hans Waldfogel, that the Lord said he had put his presence here and would keep it here as long as we kept it holiness to the Lord. He wants this spot on earth to be a vestibule of heaven, a place where there will be a foretaste of heaven, where there is no sorrow. I just want to ask, by show of hands, how many of you in the room have ever witnessed or heard or received a prophetic word in your life? By show of hands. If you've ever... Okay. There's often a common misconception about prophetic words, and a lot of us, especially the younger generations, we kind of look at them as like the doomsday prophets who are saying the world's going to end in 2012, and so we just kind of write them off as, okay, those guys, prophecy, that's a little weird, that's a little, I don't know how to deal with that. Prophecy, as we know, is so much more than just predicting a future event. What prophecy is in reality is seeing things as God sees them and speaking that out. It's more than just hearing a powerful sermon or hearing a preacher say something that really resonates within your heart. It's the very words of God from the heart of God through his people. That's what a prophetic word is, for those of you who may not know or may have never experienced what that looks like. And so when Brother Hans is speaking this, this wasn't just something that he thought, well, this would be nice if this place, if camp could be a vestibule of heaven, if the presence of God was here as long as we kept holiness unto the Lord as our reality. This was something that was on the heart of God for Pilgrim Camp. As we sit here today, this is the heart of God for you and I, is to experience the very presence of Jesus. And so we look at this 75-year-old prophecy, and we I was just asking myself, okay, God, what does this have to do with us? And a lot of times we look at something like that and say, wow, that's awesome that this holy man spoke this 75 years ago, and now we just get to reap the benefits of it. We just get to come up and enjoy what he spoke over Pilgrim Camp all that time ago. There's a lot more that goes into that and into this. And what I want us to do tonight by the end of this is, my prayer is that we would be able to renew this prophetic word tonight as we enter into the presence of God. But prophetic words like these bring responsibility to those who it's given to. So that means that just because God has spoken something, maybe God spoke something over your life as a young person through a minister, through a brother or sister, that this is what I see for you. Some of you are here today because of what someone spoke over your life as a child. But just because it's spoken over our life, just because there's been a word that Brother Hans spoke over this camp, doesn't mean that I now just get to sit back and relax and just enjoy the benefit of what was spoken all that time ago. What this prophetic word does, and this is really what I'm praying tonight, is that it calls us to action. It calls us to see this is the potential of what this place has as you pursue me. This is what is possible. A vestibule of heaven. A place where there will be a foretaste of heaven, where there is no sorrow. Does anyone else want that? Does anyone else want to experience that throughout the rest of this week? In Matthew chapter 21, you don't have to turn there, but if you'd listen to these verses, Matthew chapter 21, there's this really interesting encounter. I just want to unpack this a little bit because I think this is important for us to just, the Lord laid it on my heart when I read that word from Brother Hans. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13, it says, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. We're familiar with this scene where Jesus comes and he cleanses the temple, and there's kind of this uproar. And it's kind of one of those things where we ask, is that Jesus? This kind of anger bubbles over and he begins to drive out all that's going on in the temple. And how do we reconcile this with what's going on in the life of Jesus, through the life of Jesus? What we see here in this account in Matthew that's given, Jesus actually references this specific prophetic word that's given in the book of Isaiah. And there's an interesting reaction that Jesus has. He's entering into the temple, and the temple, as we heard last night, is the dwelling place of God. That's the place where God decides to come and reveal his presence here on earth, specifically at that time. And so the temple, as Jesus walks in, had the potential to be the dwelling place of the very presence of God, to host Jesus, to host the presence of God himself. Yet that wasn't their current reality because there was sin taking place in the middle of it. And so Jesus comes in and he says, this has the potential to be a house of prayer for all nations, but it is not because of the way you're living. And so what Jesus does is he begins to take action referencing this prophetic word that's given hundreds of years earlier. So Isaiah spoke this. Where did he speak this? Isaiah chapter 56. So Isaiah spoke this hundreds of years earlier, and Jesus now comes onto the scene, and he doesn't say, well, Isaiah said it, so the temple's a house of prayer for all nations. Are you tracking with me? Isaiah said it, so that it is what it is, even though there's sin that's desecrating the temple. He doesn't just come and say, well, it was once a house of prayer a few decades ago before I turned on the scene, and so therefore, it's okay. It was once a house of prayer for all nations. That didn't satisfy Jesus. Jesus wanted it to be a current reality that this is a house of prayer today. The prophetic word that Isaiah gave hundreds of years earlier drove Jesus to action for that current reality to be his reality. And so we see these promises of God these prophetic words that God gives become guidelines that show us now how can we live to access the very presence of God. How do we live this abundant life? It's not just so we sit back, relax, and enjoy what happened generations ago. It's so that we can live in that reality today. And so as we're looking at this word from Brother Hans, we have a responsibility to steward this with great diligence 75 years later. We're seeking the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're seeking breakthrough in our lives. We're asking God to come in ways that we have never maybe personally experienced before. That is what we're after in all of this. And Jesus was after the same exact thing in that moment for his people. He was cleansing the temple as a symbol of what needed to be cleansed within their hearts. And so as we come and continue throughout this week, we can't expect God's presence as just a token because we're at Pilgrim Camp. Because we're here, and that's just what happens here, is just God resides here. We can't just expect God's presence because we kept our motto, holiness unto the Lord. Just because we haven't changed a thing, God's presence remains. We can expect God's presence as we continue to pursue Jesus with all of our heart. So, 75 years later, 75th anniversary, what would it look like for us to renew this prophetic word that was spoken at the beginning of the days of camp? What would it look like for you to begin to take responsibility for what God desires to do here in this place? What would it look like for you to pursue the presence of Jesus over this next week? And so I just want to leave you with that challenge, as I've been challenged. How can I do that over these next days? And maybe for you, it's just doing something different. Maybe it's pursuing Jesus in a way that you've never pursued him before. Doing something that you haven't thought about doing before. Speaking up and giving a testimony. Or staying a little bit later and praying a little bit longer. Maybe it's just, I'm going to pay closer attention in the meetings. I know you're tired. I know you're hot. I'm sweating right now. Trust me, I'm with you. But it's the presence of God that we're after. And if we can agree with that nothing else matters that happens in this room but the presence of Jesus himself, I think we can pursue him together. So I leave you with that challenge. I just like to pray over us as we can hopefully renew this prophetic word and pursue Jesus. He's worthy of pursuit.
Jesus.
He is. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you stir our hearts again, Jesus? Stir our hearts again. The word that you put in the mouth of our founder, Brother Hans Waldfogel, 75 years ago, Lord, let that be on our lips and on our heart today. Jesus, that we would experience the radical, life-changing presence of God this week.
Yes.
Lord, that we would not be satisfied with anything else, with anything less, but you. And Jesus, we pray that as a byproduct of that, Lord, would you just begin to even bring freedom into our hearts? Lord, we've been battling through a difficult year. So many of us have been, Lord, just limping in here with stories to tell of how they got to this place in this moment. And Father, we ask now that you would just come and strengthen and fill and refresh and renew and revive your church. Holy Spirit, I pray even now you'd begin to give a picture of what it would look like to pursue you in these next few days that we have together. Jesus, how would you use each of us in that process? Lord, we pray for 75 more years of glory here at Pilgrim Camp. Lord, in that maybe these would be the days that people look back and say, the Spirit of God poured out. Jesus, we love you. We thank you.
Yes.
We worship
yes.
you. Thank you for your presence in this place.
Yes.
Just make us aware. Give us an expectation every time we walk into this place to meet with you. Lord, let us just expect great things.
Jesus.
We love you.
Yes.
We love
thank
you. Amen.
That reading continues with a question. So what is holiness? Over the years, our leaders have taught us the importance of practical holiness, both by example and biblical teaching. And 4 points. Holiness must first be an inward work of the Spirit of God that manifests itself in Christ-likeness and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Holiness is separation from the world, so we can be separated unto Him. Holiness is simply pleasing Jesus in everything. And holiness is Christ living out His life in me. There's a theme song that we have at camp. Some of you know it. Some of you are not familiar with it. We hear it every morning. Well, if your windows are open. You'll hear it every morning being played by the trumpets. It's the first song of the day that is heard on these grounds. Holiness unto the Lord. And I'd like us to sing that tonight. And so when you hear it in the morning, you'll know what the message that's being conveyed. And so it's hymn number 44 in your white camp books. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this. In the staff readings, this is also, there aren't enough verses for 7 days, but spread throughout this book for the staff who are reading it, you'll see the verses of this song that are written for us. And each verse begins with called unto holiness, and that's what we just heard. We are called to holiness. And so this is our prayer and desire that God would do this and put us, that we would find ourselves in the place of God being able to do what He has promised to do here. Number 44 in the white book.
Called unto holiness.
seated as we sing the last verse, and then if you have a word of testimony you'd like to share, now would be a good time to do that. Verse 4.
Call unto holiness, pride of the Lamb, waiting the bridegroom's returning again. Lift up your heads, for the day draweth near, and in his beauty the King shall appear. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song.
He has filthy garments, and the Lord says, change his garments, give him new garments. How are we to be holy unto the Lord? We can't. We are made of flesh. We are carnal. But we have so great a salvation. I've said this before, I'm one that likes tools, but I don't have one tool that doesn't work for me. It has to work. It's good for nothing if it doesn't work. But tools are made to function. And when I first found the Lord, I found the salvation that works. Not that there's not battles, but we, as we've heard, have a victorious, conquering Savior, which is able to change us, he is able to make all things new. As we yield our lives to him, as we seek him with all our heart, he transforms. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I don't stand here to boast of holiness, but I boast of a God who's able to make us holy, a God that purifies us, a God whose blood has been shed that we might be made holy.
Yes.
If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Woman, today I found the Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lost in sins. Their broken heart had left them sad and lonely. And Jesus came and
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus.